You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Just the Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
Amen. You know, several weeks ago, we started a message on spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is so prevalent today. You know, and your attitude towards war really depends a lot on how you really approach spiritual warfare. Nobody really likes war. You know, war is, you know, they made the song, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. But there's a war and a battle that's taking place every single day. Not only in the natural, we're talking about in the unseen realm. And you have to understand, either you are part of this battle as far as you're fighting the war or you're a victim of it. One of the two. And the enemy uses deception, and he tries to break down your morale and your will or reason to fight. You remember back in the Japanese war, they had this lady called Tokyo Rose. Tokyo Rose would come on the air and try to convince the soldiers to go home, to put down their weapons. Why you here, soldier boy? Why you fighting? Who at home with your woman? You know, all this stuff that make you not want to fight. Well, the same tactic is used in today's situation with satanic warfare. The enemy tries to break down your resolve, try to tell you that there's really no reason to fight. There's no warfare, you know, to try to get you to become a victim of it instead of having been a victor in it. You know, Jesus already won the battle. He defeated hell. He defeated hell, death, and the grave. He took the keys to hell and death. He defeated principalities and powers. He rose victorious. He triumphed over them. And then he told us, now you go and you teach all nations. Arm them with the same mindset to know that we are in a spiritual warfare, but yet the victory has already been won. Now you have to establish this victory wherever you go. Because see, the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. But what if we don't have a testimony? What if we don't have anything in our mind? What if we don't understand the warfare because we don't understand who we are? We just think we're just mere men and women, another form of God's creations walking around here on the earth. No, you were created in the image and in the likeness of God. You are God's offspring. God desired to have children that would function just like him. Not only in his image to look like God, but also in his likeness. So Jesus said, listen, he came to destroy the works of the devil. He told us that the works that he does, we're going to do also. But then he said, greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. Currently, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And he said he will be seated there until his enemies become his what? Footstools. Well, we are the body of Christ. And if Christ is the head, we're the body. The only place the enemy has to dwell is under our feet. But a lot of times we let him get in our head, talk to us, telling us things that God didn't agree with. This is why the Bible said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's in bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And once you have done that, once you have trained, he said, having a readiness now to revenge all disobedience now that your obedience has been fulfilled. You can't even get into this battle till you first subdue this partial ground, which is your body. Until you can bring your mind into subjection, into the mind of Christ, you're going to always have a carnal mentality. And the Bible said that the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he even know them or identify them because they're spiritually discerned. This is why over in St. John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he came to Jesus by night and said, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. Immediately, Jesus captures the conversation and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That means unless you're born of the Spirit, you can't see, know, or even understand God's way of doing things. You're just walking around here as a natural man. But see, there has to be a physical birth in order to qualify you for the second birth. Jesus says, except man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, that born of the water was the natural birth. When a woman has a child, there's water and blood, the water breaks, the baby comes out. Now, to be born again, you have to be first a candidate or a legal citizen of this planet. Then, now it qualifies you for the second birth. Because once you're born in this planet, now you can be born again of the Spirit of God. And once you accept the Spirit of Christ, the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But if Christ be in you, he is the hope of glory. And so now we're born again of the Spirit. So now we get the spiritual download of the information that comes from heaven. Now the eyes of our understanding is being enlightened. You know, they got people today, even in the military and other places, trying to get this supernatural force working with them. They call it by opening up their third eye, trying to see in the spirit realm, trying to have a supernatural effect. But what you do is when you do it like that, you open yourself up for demonic suggestion and possession. But when you're born of the Spirit, you hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church, the Holy Spirit of God. And most of us, even when we pray like God is 10,000 light years away. And we hope our prayer reaches heaven. When the Bible said that when Jesus ascended, that he gave us the Holy Spirit. He said, I have to go away, but I will give you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall lead and guide you into all truth. Not only shall he dwell with you, but he shall be in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So the Holy Ghost dwells on the inside of us. He said, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You have been bought with a price. You mean I'm not my own? That means I belong to someone else? That means I need to be under the authority of the one to whom I belong to. If I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus and God is my Father, I need to get my direction and information from him, not from the dictates of the world. And so the spiritual warfare has to do a lot with changing our mindset as far as who Christ is to us in our life. And so first thing we got to do is acknowledge that we are in a battle. And if you're in a battle, you need to be trained. When they put you in the military, the first thing they did, they put you in what? Basic training. Basic training stripped you of your individual identity. You became a GI, government issue. They talked about your mama, made you do deplorable things, tried to debase you, to humble you to where it was less of you and more of them, and you could obey on command without question. And they beat that in you. My son was a drill sergeant. You know what drill sergeants do? They all up in your face. They do everything. They're going to find out what's in you. You got attitude. You got a button to push. They're going to push it. They're going to find out how you're going to react under pressure. Part of the training, when you get into a certain part of it, you have to crawl up on a barbed wire fence holding your weapon with live fire going over your head. You jump up and panic if you want to. They'll be shipping you back home in a bag. You got to remain calm under fire. So it teaches you how to maintain a calm within yourself, even when there's turmoil going all around you. Same thing in the spiritual battle. This is why you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is why over Psalms it says, he who can control his spirit is greater than one that can take a city. In other words, if you can control what's on the inside of you, you're more powerful than a military general who comes in to occupy a city. See, when God said, I've given you authority over all the earth, the first parcel of ground we have to conquer is this dirt suit that we live in. There's a saying that says, if there's no enemy within, then the enemy without can't hurt us. See, we have two things working for us, one thing working for us and one thing working against us. The Bible said that God has given you and I, or every man, the measure of faith. I want you to see that faith as a little bag of faith. But that faith can be turned into fear. Because all fear is faith working in reverse. Bible said that faith is the substance. It's the building block. It's the material of the things that I hope for. Hope is what you expect the outcome to be. So if fear is your faith, then the negative outcome is what you dread and what you see, and that gives the enemy authority to work against you. Over in the book of Job, Job chapter 1. When the sons of God came before God, Satan also came in the midst of them, and he asked Satan, he said, where have you been? He said, walking to and fro up and down in the earth. In other words, I've been taking over your territory here. I got people following me. And then God said, well, have you considered my servant Job? Righteous man, one who eschews evil, perfect in all his ways and upright before me. Satan said, yeah, I know, but the only reason why Job is serving you is because you didn't put a hedge around about him and can't nobody get to him. But you removed the hedge and let me touch his stuff, and I'll have Job to curse you to your face. He said, all right, just don't take his life. And so Job, what he used to do, he had a family just like ours. We got 10 kids. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. We got 7 girls and 3 boys. All right, so he had this huge family, and they would always party. And so what Job would do, because Job was a righteous man, Job would go out and he'd get a fatted calf. He would make an altar. He would sacrifice. God, just in case my family has sinned and, Lord, something terrible come upon them, Lord, I'm making sacrifice for them now just in case something happens. And see, the very thing that Job feared the most is what Satan used to try to destroy his resolve. Because he said, the thing that I have feared the most has come upon me. What happens the first time? Matter of fact, let's go over to Job chapter 1, and let's look at that. In Job chapter 1, when they came together, Satan attacked Job. He attacked him by destroying all the substance that he had, because he told God the only reason why Job is serving you is because you've been blessed him, because he has substance. And so now he said, let me take away the stuff you didn't bless him with, and he'll curse you. How many of us serve God just for the material blessing that we can receive from God? And see, we shouldn't do that. We should always serve God because of his goodness, not because of what he has given us, but because of who he is. So in Job chapter 1, we'll see where the challenge came. Now, the whole story, it talks about Job. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born into him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. That means servants and men, you know, people take care of the grass and all this stuff, you know. So that this man was the greatest in all of the, it's the greatest, was the greatest of all the men of the East. Sons went and feasted in their houses, every one of them on his day. So they took a day, every day of the week, one of the sons had a feast going on. And he sent and called their 3 sisters and to eat and to drink with them. And so it was so that when the day of their feasting were going about, that Job went and sacrificed them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. And this Job did continually. See, the devil can only use the things that you fear, things that to use against you. The Bible said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and of a sound mind. He said something else about fear, that fear has torment. People are afraid they want to go out their house. Fear has torment. All right, so what happened? Verse 6. And that was the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, so whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. In other words, I just do what I want in your kingdom, in your creation. I am the influencer in your creation. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, upright, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan said, yeah. Satan answered and said, Lord, and doth Job fear God for naught? For thou hast put a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to your face. So Job is in the midst of a challenge and don't know why. Spiritual warfare. But he's not aware of the battle. But God is already betting on him. He said, have you considered my servant Job? So this is the challenge to get Job to defect on God. If you're serving God for what he has given you, then you'll defect when those things are taken away. You'll turn on God. But if you're serving God because you love him, it doesn't matter. Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. He said, but in everything, I learned how to be content. He didn't say satisfied, but content. In other words, I'm not going to complain no matter what my condition might currently be. All right, so what happened? He touched him. All this happens to one day. Start at verse 13. And that was the day when the sons and the daughters were eating and drinking in the oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses were feeding and the Sabaeans fell on them and took them away, and they have slain all the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to come and bring you the bad news. And while they were yet speaking, there came also another and said, a fire of God is fallen from heaven and have burned up the sheep and thy servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped to come and tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. All this happened in one day. That'll break the resolve of anybody. That'll break you down. But what happened? What did Job say? He said, and Job rose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshipped. And said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither to the Lord. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You would have thought that would have been enough. They had another meeting up in heaven. Here comes Satan again. Satan, come on up. God asked him the same thing. Where you been? Walking to and fro in the earth. God said the same thing. Have you considered my servant Job? How he's a good man, he eschews evil. Satan answered, verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. He said, put forth now thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. And Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet to his crown, and took him pot shards and scraped himself wherewithal and set among the ashes. Then Satan said, I need to pull out the big gun. I need to pull out something, the heavy duty, because I'm looking bad in this contest. And so verse 9, then said his wife unto him, doth thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Now, what was the challenge? The challenge was, I can get Job to curse you to your face. But what was Job's response response to his wife. But he said unto her, thou speakest like one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall not we receive good at the hand of God as well? He said, and shall we not receive evil? In this, he said, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Didn't say nothing against God. Evil. How often do we defect on God when things go wrong? Why, God, why? Why you let my son die? Why you let me lose my house? Why you let me lose my job? Why you let sickness come into my body? Now, there's an enemy. His name is Satan. He has a threefold agenda. He comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But if you don't have an understanding of the warfare, you would defect in a moment and turn and blame God for all of the tragedy that's happening in your life. See, we have to understand, Job recognized the frequency that his wife was speaking. He said, wait a minute, you don't even sound like my wife. Because you ain't, you know, we done been through a lot together, but you don't sound like my wife right now. You know, Satan would speak to the people closest to you, speak through, to try to get an advantage over you. But you got to understand and hear the frequency of the voice of God. You got to know what is of God and what's not of God. Hey, remember I gave you the analogy that when Peter was asked, Jesus asked the disciples, say, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, thou art Elijah, one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? Peter cleared his throat and jumped up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the other 11 back there, he come up. And Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this unto you. How do you think Peter felt at that moment? I done heard from God. I done got a direct word from the Lord. And Jesus began to tell him about the suffering, the crucifixion, the rejection. And the Bible said that Peter began to rebuke Jesus and said, not so, Lord. Jesus turned around and looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, get thee behind me, Peter. He understood the frequency of the voice. He understood that Satan had motivated him to speak that. You got to understand frequencies and what people say. So you got to be careful that you don't get to a point that where you receive the information from the world that's having more authority than the information that comes from God's word. You know, Job, matter of fact, let me go over to James. James. I'm way off script, but that's all right. Let's go over to James. We talked about this not too long ago. Turn to the book of James, if you will. And James talk about when the devil get all up in your head, you're subject to say things that you really don't mean to say. And you get an enemy opportunity to use those words against you. And so, in James chapter 3, I believe it is. I get there in a second. James talk about when there's bitter envying and strife in your life. The Bible said, glory not and lie not against the truth. That's James chapter 3, starting at verse 13. He said, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, what you're saying, Job never seen with his lips. Show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. That conversation, that word can also be translated as lifestyle, your way of living. He said, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. How do you lie against the truth? Jesus went to the cross for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was placed upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. But you went to the doctor. And the doctor said, you're sick. You're going to die. You got 6 months to live. But the Bible said, by his stripes, you're healed. Now, the fact is, the doctor does see something. But the truth is, the doctor, God said he already bore that sickness and infirmity in his own body, and with his stripes, you're healed. Facts are subject to change. So you got lie, You got facts and you got truth. Facts are in the middle. Whatever you gravitate toward, that will be the thing that will be established in your life. Over in Jonah, it talks about those who observe lying vanities. He said, those who observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. What do you mean, those who observe, Jonah, who observe lying vanities? What does the word observe mean? To give a place of authority, observance, a place of high esteem in your life. And for you to observe the report of the doctor as having more truth to you than what the word of God says, then you'll forsake your mercy of being healed because you will have whatsoever you say. And so if you're going back and repeating all of the negative stuff that the doctor has said, and you can say, listen, doctor, I'm not telling you that you're lying, but I do understand that you're only practicing medicine. But I know somebody who has perfected it. His name is Jesus. And he took my sicknesses and infirmities and he bore them in his own body. And he told me that with his stripes, I'm healed. Now, I know my Lord, he's not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Matter of fact, the Bible said, let God be true and let every man be a liar. So, Doc, I know what you see, but I can't say what you see. I can only say what God said about me. And if I keep on saying what God said about me, it will change my condition to the truth that God says. But if I gravitate toward this out of fear, because that's bad news. If I gravitate toward that out of fear, my mind automatically starts seeing the dread and it starts building the construct for the enemy to lay that thing on. The framework is being built through fear for that thing to come from the unseen to the seen, to manifest, to become the established reality in my life. Now, there's a reality, but it doesn't mean it's established because it doesn't agree with the word of God. It won't be established until you come into agreement with it. We're talking about spiritual warfare, how to fight the battle, how to fight the good fight of faith. This is what it's all about. It's not some fantasy. This is not just some things. This is the way we fight. And the Bible said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so fear is a spirit. And the enemy tries to inject fear in you so that you will gravitate toward that fear. You know, fear is powerful. It is. It'll keep you from doing anything. You want to go out the house, you're afraid of what might happen. Fear is the apprehension of something that has not taken place yet.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I invite you to join us every Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. for Follow His Sandals.
This show is about practical keys to help all of us walk more closely with our Lord Jesus Christ to become better disciples.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you.